is Bruce Simmons, who's a convener of the Oral Health Special Interest Group within the Public Health Association. And Bruce is also a member of the ACRA Executive, and he's going to be presenting to us today on what are the goals of health reform and what might be the equivalent goals in oral health reform. So this is putting the mouth back into the body. Thank you, Bruce.
Thanks, Russell. Where to begin? I thought everything we've been hearing the last day and a half has been exciting and very affirming for a person like myself. I thought I'd just make a quick comment, which is not related to dentistry, but I heard this once on an ABC program, good old ABC. It was about the behaviour of people in the United States and how it was assessed. And they basically done a survey that said that around about 50% of Americans believe that that humans are basically bad and selfish, and the other 50% believe they're basically good and sharing. And, you know where our political parties are coming from. You know, and that's, I think this is, you know, if you're like me, you believe and want to work towards a heaven on earth. If you're the other mob, you might as well exploit it while you can. So that's just a sort of a thought for the day from me. I guess in dentistry I've always wanted to be supportive of the underdog. My father was a Labor politician a long time ago. And although I started off in private practice, I didn't stay there very long, but that was a story of many things and not just a dislike of private practice. But in the end, I ended up in Alice Springs and in 1974, married to another dentist. And we spent most of that time since then working in government dental services in Alice Springs. I was a manager there for 20-odd years, did lots of bushwork, still do bushwork. And as you might have seen in my summary of, I'm now supervising finally year dental students from James Cook University. And I had a good news story that two of our graduates from last year topped the year and they've now come to work with us. So in terms of providing a supportive environment, so far we're winning. So, yeah, so just in terms of my talk, Russell said I shouldn't talk for too long and leave some time. So maybe I'll cut some of the things I thought I might begin to say out. What are the goals of health reform? What might be the equivalent in oral health reform? I think the answer for me in terms of the goals of health reform is a fair and just society, a healthy environment, universal health promoting health care, and health in all policies. And universal Medicare primary health care is a key to that. What about oral health reform? Well, all those things are required for oral health reform as well. But as Hope Alexander loudly protests, where is the head and the mouth in a universal health care system? The goals for oral health reform must be universal healthcare, oral health care equivalent, either through a denticare or the incorporation of oral health care into Medicare. I've been rejigging my speech this morning. Currently we have great inequities, as everyone knows, in oral health care, in accessing care, in untreated dental disease levels, and in overall oral health and well-being. We have a system which works very well if we can afford it and we prioritise it, but for very many people, it's oral health services are very hard to access and very often quite unsatisfactory. They're just problem-based. You get a tooth pulled out or something like that. The underlying problems aren't being addressed. You aren't learning how to manage your oral health at all. So it's a very unfair system at the moment. So we need a system that drives oral health care services and oral health care workers to where needs are greatest. We need to redesign our oral health care workforce and models of care to promote universal, efficient and effective person-centred preventive oral health care. We need integration with primary health care. We need partnerships with our patients. Currently, there are very many barriers to equitable access to care, and to preventive dental care in particular. A major one is cost, as everyone knows. I still haven't referred to my slides yet. There aren't too many there. But this morning I decided to do a little drawing, which I hope people might be able to read or see. But if you can't, I'll explain it. It says, Aussies down in the mouth over our lousy and unfair dental funding. And this says 72. The eyes say 72, which is the percentage of money that people are out of pocket, either through 57% paying or is fees, and 15% is paying for private health insurance if they so take it. And I thought interesting to see Michael Armitage yesterday talking about the three components of health service delivery. So we had the funders, the citizens, let's call them, and the providers. And I think I've been a member of the ADA all my working career, and at times disagreed, not violently, but disagreed with the policies of the ADA, and I've tried to influence them in various ways. I have been the chair of their Rural Oral Health Advisory Panel, and a few years ago, somewhere near here, I was sitting opposite the then ADA president and CEO at a meeting with the National Health and Health Research, National Health and Hospitals Reform Commission members, and I was on one side of the table representing the National Rural Health Alliance, and also I happened to be chair of the ADA Rural Oral Health Advisory Panel, saying we need a universal dental system, and they're on the other side saying no, we definitely don't. So it was an embarrassment. It was embarrassing for me, but we managed to have a coffee afterwards, and life went on. I have to say, over the last 20 years, I've seen a great turnaround in the ADA. I think they're much more open to the issues that all Australians face, and they're continuing to sort of wonder about, you know, their policies and the direction of some of the more conservative members. So I think that's a positive story. But I would like to say a bit more about this drawing, because what is happening for the ADA at the moment, and this is all part of this talk, which I'm just going sideways slightly. As I said, if you look at this, these are the citizens, these are the population of Australia, and these are the providers, and most of the money that's being paid for dental care is coming from this group here. But at the moment, the number of providers, as the ADA is highlighting, is burgeoning. So you've got this very big bulge in providers on this side. And the amount of money that is coming in is basically the same. You know, people aren't going to suddenly spend another 10 or 15, maybe they are, maybe they can be persuaded to, but 10, 15, 20, 30% more on dental care. That's probably what, you know, that's what the smart dental operator is going to try and do, get that additional money. But just the same, for many suburban and rural dentists, etc., and oral health care workers, that money is going to be limited, but this area is growing. It's a great opportunity. You have to say it's a great opportunity now. The ADA is recognising that there is really quite, well, if you might have seen what the ADA is doing, they're really protesting loudly about the number of overseas trained dentists that are coming into the country. The number of dental schools has gone up from 5 to 9, including rural dental schools, which is in the main grade, I think. The numbers that professionals that the number of students going into courses has expanded rapidly. So even if everyone said, well, we can't do this, it's all too expensive, we're going to cut it out, for another 5 or more years, while these current undergraduates get through the course, there's going to be a really big growth in the dental workforce. And it is a great opportunity to get for the government, if they would take it up, to enable oral health services to be delivered across the board in all those places where there's greatest need. So I can now go on to my... That's my sort of beginning. I have got the Australia's National Oral Health Care Plan 2015 to 2024, which is just, this is a consultation draft that's just come out. It's a really excellent document. Andrew McAuliffe, who's going to be here this afternoon, was the primary writer of this document, and might be worth directing questions to him. But it's, I'd recommend it to you if you've got any interest in oral health, and there is an opportunity, as I say, it's a consultation draft, there's an opportunity to talk about it and to put submissions. If I had a criticism, I don't have terribly many. I think it should have a greater emphasis on patient-centred care or person-centred care than it does. And if you see on the table there, I've put a few documents that I think are relevant. I'll quickly mention those. There's the front. Heather Yateman said one of the things we can do as a health organisations is to agree about messages that everyone should know about oral health. And the dental profession or oral health professions have tried to get together and produce this document. There's still disagreement over it, and there's some subtle points in there that reflect the disagreements. There's no mention of dental floss. Does anyone use dental floss? There's no mention of dental floss being beneficial, and there's no reference to health and people, other than on the basis of risk, there's no reference to health and people should go along to the dentist. But all the oral health professional, I should keep repeating that. But so that's a good thing. Then the next page, briefly, is I was very pleased the ADA accepted my article from patient blaming to client enabling, reflections of a public health service dentist, and published it in their news bulletin a year or so ago. And I mean, it doesn't just apply to public dental services. It applies equally, if not more so, to private dental practice. Where I have to say, I keep thinking, in relation to this, the fact that everyone has to pay so much money makes such a high percentage of their fee of their dental costs out of their own pocket, makes both the provider, makes the consumer and the provider at loggerheads in many respects. It prevents a whole lot of things happening that could otherwise happen. For example, this time, if you go along to the next page or two, I've sort of referred to our policies on personalised oral health care, which we developed 20-odd years ago. And I'll quickly divert to another story. We developed that 20-odd years ago through a process which is described in this other document. And then we were going along relatively happily until 1997 or 1998, when we had something like 7 or 8 dentists working in Central Australia doing bushwork and doing a pretty good job. And then Peter Costello came along and cut out the Commonwealth Dental Health Program. Absolutely no justification whatsoever. I was absolutely astounded. I couldn't believe it had happened. And we, over the next 5 years, we went down to 3 dentists, including myself, and I was a sort of manager as well, so we called about 2.5. So we had all these great ideas, all these great programs running, and we were just basically, the ground was cut out from underneath us because the NT government wouldn't provide the additional funding. We were basically caught out, and we had to reduce our personnel to meet the new budget situation. And this has happened to a certain extent with this new government's decision to cut out money under the National Health Partnerships Agreement and various other things. They've cut out $600 million over the next few years. And this is at a time, as I've tried to explain, where there's a great opportunity for expansion of services. And they've also cut out a facilities program which would have given us another $200 million for services in rural, remote and other areas of need. So, you know, it's pretty disappointing. Okay. So that's that. And just if you're interested in this personalised oral healthcare find-out questions, I really tried to drum into our students and to all our staff that, you know, I always like to say, the patients, you're the boss, I'm here to help, and, you know, I'm here to sort of try and give you some sort of idea about what you can do about looking after your mouth if you can. So, I'll move on. I'll only be a minute more, Russell. Do you want me to stop at that point?
Oh, I